This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, there are some new findings about the Tyrannosaurus rex and its ability to move from the Rex Lab on the UW La Crosse campus. We might all know the T-Rex as a big predator to watch out for back in dinosaur days, but you might not know as much about how it moved that large body and tiny arms fast enough to catch prey. Eric Snively is a professor of biology at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, specializing in vertebrate functional anatomy and paleontology. He runs the Rex Lab. He co-authored a study on the T-Rex's ability to turn in order to keep up with prey. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Well, before we get into this new research, obviously a lot of people find dinosaurs fascinating, people of all ages. What led you into the study of dinosaurs?
Well, I was 4 years old getting my hair cut in a barbershop in Utah, and there was a footprint, a dinosaur footprint on the ground there, and I got interested enough that I never really grew out of it.
And you are studying how the anatomy of things like T-Rex what it might tell us about how they move, how they behave, and things like that. How do we take what we have of a T-Rex, say, and figure out what that means about how they moved around on the Earth?
Well, we have to start with the bones, obviously. So we have fossil bones and skeletons, and we can infer a lot about the soft tissue biology of dinosaurs based on looking at muscles and other organs in their living relatives, birds and crocodiles. So we take a bird, which is technically a modern dinosaur, look at its muscles, look at those of a croc, which is a relative, and we map muscles onto the form of these extinct dinosaurs. And we calculate properties of their bodies, so how hard it was for them to turn, how much muscle force they can exert, and so on.
Now, anybody who's ever thought about what they would do if they're confronted by a T-Rex, and I assume that's everybody, has probably thought what I have thought, like, no big deal. They're horrific and dangerous, but they're big and lumbering. They'll charge straight at me. I'll just run off 90 degrees. They won't be able to turn fast enough. I was wrong, it sounds like.
If you were going up against an adult T-Rex, then it would probably be a good idea to, move at 90 degrees and maybe try and get behind it. However, if it was a juvenile, you'd have a really hard time getting away from it. So the adults were adapted for going after large elephant-sized prey, and an elephant or a triceratops would have a harder time getting out of the way than a person would. But again, if you were being chased by a human or a horse-sized T-Rex, a little juvenile, you'd be in trouble.
Right. And so talk about what we know about how those younger T-Rexes then would be able to turn.
Well, all tyrannosaurs, including T-Rex, from juvenile to adult, had bodies that were actually pretty short from the tip of their nose to the ends of their tails. And objects that are short like that are actually easier to turn than super long objects. So a good analogy is if you have a bowling ball in front of you that weighs maybe 10 pounds, you can spin it pretty easily. But if you have a long barbell that's maybe 10 feet long, that will be a lot harder to turn. So by having a more compact body, it was easier for tyrannosaurs to turn, and they had bigger muscles, bigger leg muscles and tail muscles to help them turn than other carnivorous dinosaurs.
So it's kind of a ratio thing, it sounds like, this head-to-tail difference versus their, I guess, overall size and weight. It makes them, even though we think of them as really big, they're still pretty compact. Do I have that right?
Exactly, yeah. So a T-Rex that would weigh about, maybe 10 tons would be about 12 to 13 meters long. Other carnivorous dinosaurs, that mass would be a lot longer, and it would be a lot harder for them to turn. And also, it's a ratio of how difficult it is to turn versus how big your muscles are and how much torque those muscles can exert, how much twisting force. So if you have big muscles that can exert a lot of leverage and a lot of force, you can turn a relatively compact body more quickly than if you were longer and skinnier.
Now, what am I eating if I'm a juvenile T-Rex versus an adult T-Rex?
My colleague Joe Peterson at University of Wisconsin Oshkosh just discovered that a juvenile T-Rex was actually feasting on the tail of a duck-billed dinosaur that it had eaten. So we have tooth marks on bones of prey of tyrannosaurs. So we know that juvenile T-Rexes would have probably maybe eaten carcasses the adults have killed and probably gone after more agile prey. And we know that the adults went after large live prey because we see tooth marks in the bones of Triceratops and duck-billed dinosaurs that have healed. So a T-Rex tried to acquire that prey, but the prey got away in that case. So we know that adult T-Rexes at least were hunting large herbivorous dinosaurs.
Now, getting back to what we can infer from the structure, from the bones that we have, and I know we have some footprints and eggs and things like that, do we start to have an idea of what the ligaments and the muscles and the stuff that holds everything together and makes everything move? Are we getting a pretty good picture, we think, of what a T-Rex would have looked like just under the skin?
We have a really good picture. Because we can compare extinct dinosaurs with modern birds and crocodilians, we can infer that they had muscles that are present in their modern relatives. However, we can also look at the size of the muscle scars and the size of the muscle attachments on the bones of these extinct dinosaurs. Turns out that tyrannosaurs had really, really huge hips for really big muscle attachments. They had big crests at their knees for big calf muscles. And they had really deep, robust tails. So muscle from the tail ran to the back of the leg, pulled the leg back, and drove the T-Rex forwards. And in tyrannosaurs, these muscles are huge compared with their body size.
I understand now you want to flip the equation and look at some of the herbivores and see what we can learn from their structure about how they would have moved.
It's pretty great. Some of my students here at UWL have made some computer models of these herbivorous dinosaurs, and they've used some of my methods to calculate how easy or difficult it was for them to turn. And the next stage is to look at the muscles of these big herbivores, so things like duckbills like Edmontosaurus or Anatosaurus, and or Anatotitan, I should say, and then big horned dinosaurs like Triceratops.
As we wrap up, Eric, if I were to say to you, Eric, I can give you 30 seconds of video of an actual tyrannosaur moving about, maybe hunting, what would you hope to learn from that?
I'd actually like to learn how they were using their heads and necks. So I imagine they would get in close enough with their ability to turn. And I'd like to have some of my own work tested on how quickly they could turn their heads. Turns out if you were standing next to a T-Rex, you couldn't jump away quickly enough. It would be able to grab and bite you. But I'd like to know what it was doing to attack these larger dinosaurs and maybe how it was excising flesh from its prey.
Full disclosure, I don't have such a video. But thank you, Eric, for sharing this amazing research with us.
Thanks very much, Rob.
Eric Snively is a professor of biology at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, specializing in vertebrate functional anatomy and paleontology. He runs the Rex Lab on campus. He joined us to talk about a study he co-authored about the T-Rex's ability to turn in order to keep up with prey. Little nightmare fuel for you there. Coming up, we'll talk with an Appleton filmmaker about his virtual reality project that tries to get viewers to experience the lives of an undocumented family living in the U.S. That's coming up on Central Time.